You're listening to Women in Leadership Podcast, episode 19. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Welcome to another episode of Women in Leadership Podcast, the podcast that empowers you to reach your full potential, whether you're a woman in your own business or a woman in a corporate role. Now, joining me today on the show is Mary Jensen. Mary is one of eight children. She moved out of home at 15 and put herself through night school. She started working in accounts at the age of 15, was finance manager at 20, and then became financial controller by the age of 25. She worked hard and did it as a way to survive. After recognizing an interest in human behavior, further development and trainings, she started her own business, Empower Services, in 2009. And as most small businesses, it has grown and changed. So Mary now works as a sales trainer, incorporating personal development and public speaking. On today's show, she's going to share resilience. Never give up. There is always a way. People are people and need to be heard, even if you think your idea is the best. And change is inevitable. You can fight it all you want, like swimming up a waterfall. So welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you. Hi, how are you today?
Really good. Wow, a child of eight. Tell me, were they all boys or was there a mixture?
Is it a mixture? We had four boys first and then four girls, and wow. I was the first girl.
Oh, fantastic. And look, that the fact that you moved out of home at the age of 15, I mean, nowadays some kids are still living at home mid-20s, even late 20s. I've even heard of some people late, you know, early 30s even. That was really young.
Well, I've always been a go-getter, and being able to study in a small house with all those people, it was really, really difficult. Mm. And it was just a really easy choice. I'd been a very capable child. I could cook for 10 people. Mm. and look after myself. We all had to chip in and do things, and it was an easy choice because I had then my own space to be able to grow, learn and study.
Wonderful. Now, I know you've got some information and insights you're going to share with us in a moment. But what I wanted to touch on in your introduction, I mean, you started at accounts at 15, then 5 years later, you were the finance manager, and then another 5 years, you were the financial controller. So you really can see an incredible progression and leadership. And as you moved up the corporate ladder, what would you say, looking back, because insight is a fantastic tool, but looking back, what were some of the key, whether it be mindsets or things that you did that enabled you to continue to develop and advance your career?
One of the things that my mum taught me at a very young age is a job worth doing is worth doing well. So I've always had that mentality. Whatever you do, give it your all. Mm. I love learning. I still love learning. I'm always retraining and going to courses and events to learn as much as I can. I love, I don't think I'll ever stop learning until the day that I die. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be part of it. Wanting to know how to do things better. So right from the get-go, right from working in finance at the age of 15, I was always what they call a change merchant. So I always looked at things and thought, how can we do it better? How can we do it faster? How can we do it? I think maybe there's a bit of laziness in there that you might laugh at, but that kind of gives you, you know, find a better way. If it's a hard job and a hard task and repetitive, there's got to be some place that we can automate in there.
Now, thinking back to that time, were you surrounded by mentors? What kind of support did you have? Because the reason I say this is because so many women, whether they're in their own business or whether they are in corporate, they do get stuck in a rut. They do work hard, definitely. I mean, so many women who are listening to this podcast work extremely hard, yet haven't quite seen the progression that you have in that short time, you know, frame. Every 5 years you really progress. What were some key support factors around that you had?
I definitely had some fantastic mentors. back in my first finance day, so between 15 to 20, there was a lady, Mary Bettuna, and she was the financial controller of a company called Electronic Data Systems, EDS. And she sat me down really early and said, you know, you're a real go-getter and you can really go anywhere you want. And starting young in a business that gives you the opportunity to learn and grow is definitely... If I hadn't have sat down with her, I don't know where I'd be, because she was the one who suggested that I go to night school. And through that, you know, educating myself and being able to progress. So definitely there's find mentors, people that you look up to, see how they are doing things, model what they're doing if you want their results. And in the same way, bring in your own individuality as well, because not everything that all my mentors did and said and taught are what I took on board. I would absolutely take on board things that I thought were fantastic and would work. And in the same token, there were some things that just didn't resonate with me. So I think that the key in there is make sure that you're authentic and being you at the same time as you're building and growing.
So true. And, you know, I just want to commend you and thank you for sharing that, because at a young age to recognize that is incredible. And, you know, thinking back to what you're saying, your mother was saying, she really empowered you to do that. I remember when I first started my first role, it was working in an office, which I swore I would never do, but an accident kind of led me down that path. Long story for another day. And I got a pay rise. Similar to you, I was nurtured and mentored in the workplace, and it wasn't long before I got a pay rise and then another pay rise as my role progressed. And I remember going to speak to my mother about getting a car. She said, oh, well, you can't really afford it on your wages. And it was then that I explained to her. So yes, the environment, someone that believes in you and gives you that opportunity, I think is really important, which is a great lesson for people to think about. What environment are you currently in? Is it supportive? And if not, maybe it's not the best environment for you. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I first started in an office. So before the one I was just talking about at EDS, I first started in an office as junior accounting, and we did everything manually at that stage. And in that environment, that was a terrible environment. I was the youngest person there, which meant I was sort of the gopher in the dog's body. Anyone that didn't want to do a task that was tedious, they gave it to me. And there was no computers and no progression. And I could see very quickly that that environment was not an environment for me. And I remember when I left, the managers that I worked for, they refused to give me a reference, yet the sales manager in that company noticed how different I was, and he wrote me a reference, and he said, it's Mary's growth and go-getter attitude that is taking her from this company to a company that has computers.
I love it. Absolutely.
Now I gave away my age a little bit, didn't I? Before computers and after computers.
That's all right. We're all in the same boat. So I absolutely can understand that. And look, that is another insight. If you recognize that the environment in which you are currently in is not supporting you, make a decision and make a move. You know, don't hope that something's going to change. Sometimes you do need to make that change, and that may mean changing companies. Maybe even changing up your own business if you can see currently what you're doing is just not working. Great, great insights. Let's dive in. Resilience. Never give up. There is always a way. Share more about that.
Well, that is my key for living life, resilience. So being one of eight children, finding your voice and being heard was probably difficult, especially being fifth. I mean, I sort of came after everybody, you know, everybody's sort of ranking up before me, and the ones even after. So I think that resilience, learning resilience, tasks are never going to be exactly what you want. I mean, there's so many times that you do something and you learn more from the way you went about doing it to find a better way than if you got it right in the first place. So I used to talk to my staff a lot about mistakes. And I used to say, I believe mistakes what people deem mistakes are fantastic in a process or a procedure situation, because you can strengthen that procedure or that process so that those things don't happen again. So the resilience to always look forward, to always find a better way, even if things seem to be a disaster right now, to have a 360 look at the disaster that you're in and see what you can grab from it, because that's where the gold is.
And so often when people talk about mistakes or failure or things not going right, it becomes a blame game, doesn't it? Or I'm a failure, and it really can keep them stuck if we're not careful. And to hear you say, well, look, this could be a really great opportunity for growth and learning and expansion, for some people really does challenge their mindset. Would you say that that is something that continued to learn and develop in you as a young child, or was it also modeled? Because I would imagine that being one of eight, all of your siblings would have been trying to have their voice heard amongst the crowd, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Learning to fight for your rights and fight for yourself and fight to be heard. And it was a bit of a fight. And now I know that there's way different ways to go about it. So there's ways to be heard now without being loud.
Yes.
There's ways to be influential without even making a noise sometimes. So though all those sorts of skills, I mean, absolutely, coming from eight children has given me a grounding in a multitude of human behaviour. And then being so young and moving out of home and then progressing in a career and managing and mentoring and training staff for such a long period of time, you just get to know the different types of people that there are and the different wants and needs. You know, there's people who really want to talk and there's people who really don't want to talk. Mm-hmm. There's people who like to be trained by seeing things and there's people who like to be trained by hearing things. And some people need a lot of direction and some people don't need a lot of direction. So all those different environments that I've been in across the time have taught me a lot about resilience and resilience in so many different ways.
Yes. What you've just said there, I wanted to just to highlight to people in case they've missed it. And this is one of the key steps. You're talking about not just yelling and being the loudest person, but kind of analysing the situation. And often it's because of our relationships with people in the workplace or our team, and recognising the ways in which they communicate so that you can then communicate in a way that they listen, that they appreciate, and that the conversation can be one where there is to and fro, you know, where there is a collaboration and a coming together and understanding, even if that means, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, even if you think the best idea is your own, allowing people to be, you know, heard. But I think recognising different situations and reacting differently and with intention certainly sounds like that made a difference in how you approached your relationships and in the workplace. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. And I worked in manufacturing for a long period of time, which was very male dominant. And a lot of the communication styles that I love to use today are a combination of what I saw that worked and also what I saw that didn't work.
And, you know, with the communication styles and differences, what may sound as a critique, but quite a hard critique, may just be the way some person, you know, communicates. So the resilience is also never take things personally. Otherwise, that can certainly limit your self-confidence as well.
Oh, absolutely. In my view, there's four types of people in the world. So I talk to people about the strong people, so the assertive people who really know what they want and go and get what they want. They communicate in the, you know, the Nike just do it way.
Yeah.
And then there's the fun communicators who are all about fun and excitement and, you know, making sure everybody's included and, you know, having it all done together. Mm-hmm. And then there's the kind type of people. And each different type of people has a different language that draws them in. And to be able to change, and then, of course, there's the detail, logical type of people, and they really prefer not to have many conversations at all. They are often misunderstood because they just love to get on with doing the detail and the work of what they want to do. So knowing that there's different types of people and they have different ways to communicate, and changing your way to listen to them, because when we want to communicate, that's the key, the communication.
Yes.
We want it to be both ways. So to be in a relationship that's communicating, be it business, pleasure or otherwise, to be have it to have the ability to converse two ways and learn to understand that everybody is different, and with that comes value. That's just one of the lessons that's life gives us, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was talking at a networking event today to a lovely young lady, and she was saying that one of her colleagues rang up, was in corporate, and was really quite heartbroken because there'd been a round of promotions and she was not part of the team that was asked to step forward and up. And so she was really, really hurt. And she said, oh, you know, I've been working so hard and these are the things that I've delivered. And I just believe that I'm due a promotion. So many women, men too, but women in leadership, that's what the show's all about, they struggle to communicate the value that they offer. So whether it is talking to a prospective client or talking to a senior manager, putting forward your case, and you know, reasons why you believe that you are, you know, should be offered a promotion. It's all about communication, isn't it? And about ensuring that what you're communicating is getting the right message across. And that's where resilience and never giving up is so important, isn't it? Find a different way. What's a different communication that you can use that really taps into that communication style of the other person?
I think that is exactly a big key in the business. And for me, my opinion, and it is only my opinion, if you go into a situation always focusing on what you can give, so what you can give to that position, what you can give to that company, what you can give to your fellow colleagues, that puts you in a much better stead for a promotion than having the mentality of I've worked hard and I've done my ticked my list and now it's my time to get.
Yeah.
I believe if you go always trying to improve yourself and your job, whatever the job is, you know, that back to that, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. If you have that mentality to keep giving and keep doing to the best of your ability, I believe that the promotions will fall.
Absolutely. And be able to communicate it in a way that is showing how you've delivered value and continue to do so. So let's dive into the next area. People are people and need to be heard, even if you think your idea is the best. This can be really hard for us sometimes, particularly the people who do like to share their ideas. Let's speak a bit more about this.
This one is the close to my heart. For a long period of time, because I progressed so quickly, I suppose, I had a really high opinion of myself. And it
thank you for your honesty. That is
it's true. And I know this is really the catalyst to part of my biggest growth in communication and human behavior. I was the type of manager that never missed a deadline, and that if my team wasn't going to make it, then I'd drag them. I really would. Mm-hmm. And I saw how people acted and reacted in those situations. And I put a lot of hard work into myself and looking at how I like to be treated, how I like to be managed, and those types of things to learn that there's a much better way. If the team arrives triumphant as a team, it's so much better to be in there than you arrived at the front and you dragged everybody with you.
Yeah, everybody's looking a little bit disheveled at the back going, what the heck just happened?
And it's so true. So now I know that I am so strong at the strongest outcomes is a combination. There's been so many times that I've been so closed down in my mindset, thinking that this is the way I want it to be and I'm at the top and I have that right. And when I learnt to listen to all the other angles, because I'm very big picture focused, and I would look at the big picture and the overall outcome. And there was so much value in listening to the detail of how to do it best. Mm-hmm. And I really would have, you know, the outcome might be the same as the outcome I thought it was going to be, but the steps to get there as a team were way different than I imagined. And when I learnt that, and I probably started learning that when I was a financial controller, and when we were moving into mergers and acquisitions and purchasing businesses where we were melding all the different teams and all the different personalities. Mm. And, you know, I sometimes I had the view that the way our company did it was the best way. And I learned so much stepping into those other smaller companies and finding out, wow, no, actually that way is a better way. So that was a real eye opener.
Mm. And so the lesson for you there, the insight, was to really take the opportunity to listen to what the team was saying to you, which I think is absolutely imperative. Because even if this decision at the end of the day is something different than what they had explained or someone else had explained and shared, they still felt listened to, didn't they? And they still felt part of the team and valued.
Yeah. And even sometimes in the merger and acquisition space, when I was encouraging staff members to come on board and stay when they really weren't happy about things, sometimes I even took their idea, if I thought it wasn't exactly the best one, yet it was going to work,
mm-hmm.
as a way of strengthening a team.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's very important to watch your language too, isn't it? There's one word, and I'm sure you in your training you would have heard this too. There's one three-letter word that can absolutely derail the team, derail the conversation, and that word is but. So if you replace that word but with and, it can absolutely change. And I'll give you a situation, scenario, and this is probably similar to something that you've just said, Mary. If someone brings something to you, one of your team members, you might say, Joe, I absolutely love that idea. And if we brainstorm a little bit around this particular area, I think that that might just work. So it's kind of building on maybe that Joe didn't quite hit the mark, but saying, you know, rather than saying but, because that completely just, you know, shatters what he's just said, you would use the word and, you can really expand it and take the conversation so people can continue to brainstorm and come up with a solution for you. Is that something that you found as well?
Absolutely. And there are some other minimizing words as well that you can use in a conversation you want to acknowledge somebody's idea and move it in a different direction.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. There we go. So listen. And that's such a great reminder. People need to be heard. Let's talk about change. I know that for many people, sometimes change can be frightening. But what you've said, and I think it's true, with things were in the workplace, with things in business, change is inevitable. And we can fight it if we want, like swimming up a waterfall. There's an easier way. Let's talk about this.
So in every situation, I look for the gold, I look for the good. Whenever there's something that is disappointing you, disheartening you, and you don't have the mindset around moving forward or being positive about it, there's always going to be something in it. There's always some way to find a silver lining. And usually if we learn to retrain ourselves to start looking for that, we find more than one silver lining. Mm. So I talk about it a lot like there's a dot, and the dot, so there's not one dot and another dot. One dot is right and one dot is wrong. I think there's one dot of how it's being done now, and there's all the space around the dot is all the other possibilities.
And I think for people who are looking for silver linings and they say, I just can't find it, they're just not looking deep enough, are they? Or wide enough for...
Yeah, there's something. There's going to be something for every situation. So recently I've gone three learners back to back. And we were driving a particular way with my son this day in the car, and that particular direction is horrendous. There's always parked cars zipping in and zipping out. It's just a treacherous stretch of about 500 metres. And I said, mate, we've got to leave early to make sure if we're held up in that stretch, we'll arrive on time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, things happen as life does. And we didn't leave at the time I wanted to. And we got up to the top and there was an accident. There was fire truck and there was an ambulance. And I turned around and I said, mate, this is why I want to leave early. And he laughed at me and he said, Mum, if we were early, we might have been that accident. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So there's always a different way. Instead of my perspective then was coming from, you know, we're not going to get there on time, and we could use our time differently. His perspective was, you know, we could have been in that accident.
Yeah.
And it was true. I couldn't deny that fact.
That's right. I mean, the reframes, situations that seem absolutely desperate can be turned into situations, the way we look at them, quite differently just through a reframe. There was a beautiful little poem that I read once about someone having bare feet. You know, to a barefoot person, all they want is a pair of shoes. For someone who's got a pair of shoes, they want a nicer pair of shoes. But to the man who, or the woman who has no feet, he would long just to walk barefoot. I mean, it's powerful, isn't it, when we think about it? No matter what situation we're in, there can always be a positive way to look at it. Even in your situation, you know what, let's just enjoy the time together. Let's have a chat while we're sitting here. We can't move, so what can we do? So such a great, great lesson. Mary, what's one last word of encouragement that you'd like to leave with people today?
I want women to know that we don't have to make a choice between a career, being a wife, or being a mother, or being a friend. We can choose to be happy. We can choose just to be happy being us. We're not defined by what we do. We are defined by who we are. So be who you are, not who you think others want you to be.
Wow, that is powerful. Mary, how can people get in contact with you?
I have a Facebook page, Empower Services, and I also have website, which is www.mpowerservices.com.au.
Fantastic. Look, thank you so much, Mary, for joining us today. It has been a pleasure speaking with you.
I always enjoy our conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's over to you. Mary and I want you to join the conversation to let us know what is the biggest aha. I know you've had many, you've had several, I know, from the conversation that Mary has shared with you today, but we want you to select what's the biggest one and what are you going to do in the next 24 hours to get that into action. To join the conversation, all you need to do is go to annemariecross.com/podcast19, podcast19. Leave your comment below the show notes and we look forward to reading them. Thanks so much, Mary, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me and have a really wonderful week.
You too. Now, before we go, we have our inspirational tip from our sponsor, Breaking the Confidence Barrier. Confidence is something you create within yourself by believing in who you are. Believing in yourself, the strengths and talent you bring to your clients or bring to the organization, is something that I see many women struggle with. They have the talent, however, they just don't recognize it yet, and they struggle to communicate their value in their marketing and in their conversations that they have with prospective clients. Now, do you struggle with your self-confidence? Do you find it difficult to express the value you offer in your marketing and, of course, when you're speaking with a prospective client? It is frustrating, we know, but it doesn't have to be. That's because one of my gifts and strengths is being able to help you identify and capture your message, a message that instantly connects with your ideal client and showcases the incredible offer that you have and has them thinking, I need to talk to you. If you're at the point where you are frustrated and you've been doing lots of things, but it's just not working to attract new clients in your business, I encourage you to sign up for one of my business breakthrough sessions so we can pinpoint where the gaps are and the steps that you need to take to break through your confidence barrier. To register for a breakthrough session, go to www.annemariecross.com/breakthrough session. annemariecross.com/breakthrough session. Now that brings us to the end of another show. I do hope that you have enjoyed it. I'm sure you have. You've got lots of insights and techniques that you're going to implement within your business. If you haven't already subscribed to our iTunes channel, go ahead and do that. The link is annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. By subscribing to our channel means that you're going to be the very first person to learn about our new episodes and be inspired and empowered every week. Like I know you were today. The link again, annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. And while you're over there, if you've got a couple of minutes, we would love it if you would leave a rating, leave a comment, and share the show with as many other incredible women all over the globe. See you again next week. See you, Mary.
Thanks, Emery. Bye.
Bye.